We have not done our Bible, books of the Bible, keyword study for a while, so we're going to go ahead and look at that again. Before we do that, how many of you know the first five books of the Bible? Let's say them together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And as you see, that is often called the Law or the Pentateuch. Now, as we have those, let's go ahead and say our keyword to go along with those. Genesis, beginnings. Exodus, redemption. Leviticus, holiness. Numbers, journeys. Deuteronomy, obedience. So, anybody think you've got that? Anybody want to try it without them on there? Not everybody brave at one time. I want us to grasp these. I think these will just kind of help us as we continue through the books of the Bible, but sometimes giving us something that we look at as we're reading that book. Okay, as I'm reading Leviticus, what can I get out of Leviticus? Because I'm not going to go skin some goat, and I'm not going to pour its blood somewhere. But the book of Leviticus reminds us that God is holy. And man, there's so many things we can see about that throughout the book of Leviticus. Let's go ahead and look at some of our history books. We have history. Throw them all on there, Ashton, if you would do that. We studied the book of Joshua, and Joshua dealt with possessing the land of Canaan, the promised land, what we call Israel. Judges, what happened in the book of Judges? They kept turning from God and returning to God. Apostasy. So we see apostasy in the book of Judges time and time again, circular patterns in their life. Huh, don't we see those same things in our lives sometimes? Circular panties. Man, I'm loving God and walking with God and just kind of get cold in my walk with God. And then, we get revived and God changes us. Ruth, we see the kinsman redeemer, and his name was Boaz, but he ultimately pointed to the ultimate kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. So we've got Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. And then we have, I think, first and second Samuel on this one? Ashton? Okay. First and second Samuel. First Samuel, we deal with transition. Transition in what? Who can tell me? Transition in the nation of Israel. Remember, we go from the time period of the judges, and Ruth happened during the time period of the judges. Then we go to 1 Samuel, and who is the first king we see? Well, we see Samuel, yep, the prophet, and God uses him the first part of the book, ushering in that first king then, who is Saul, right? King Saul. So God uses Samuel to help transition into Saul. And then David. And then 2 Samuel, we see David's reign. A bunch of 2 Samuel is devoted to David's reign. So these are, do we have any more on this sheet, Ashton? Just the last where we ended? Okay, I thought that's where we ended. Let's go ahead and say these. Just try to get them in our minds here. Joshua, possession. Judges, apostasy. Ruth, kinsman, redeemer. 1 Samuel, transition. 2 Samuel, David's reign. And let's go ahead and say that one more time. Joshua, possession. Judges, apostasy. Ruth, kinsman, redeemer. 1 Samuel, transition. 2 Samuel, David's reign. Not only does this give us an idea of the book of the Bible as we're reading it, but it kind of gives us, a guidance of a big outline of, hey, here's the Old Testament. So we've looked at the Pentateuch, and we're going to divide that up into subcategories of beginnings and journeys and holiness and obedience and looking at those things. Then we look at history books, the dealings of the past. And then we look at possession and apostasy, kinsman, redeemer, transition, and David's reign. And all these things will kind of go along with that. All of that, we are studying the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings. And so we've been dealing with faith. Last Wednesday evening, we talked about some sin because they didn't have faith in God like they should have. Who was that? Okay, so Adam and Eve, they walked away from God. They sinned in Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 4, we got into and we saw a couple of Adam and Eve's kids. And their two names are Cain and Abel. And how long did Cain love his brother? As long as he was able, right? Okay. That was bad. Okay. The reality is he didn't have faith in God. Abel brought the firstlings of the flock, and Cain brought his own kind of offering. He wanted to come to God his own way. And we can't come to God our own way. That's not faith. And we talked about that. Faith is an unquestioning, loyal belief or trust in God. Abel had faith in God. Cain didn't have faith in God and ended up killing his brother. We talked through the realities of that. We also then said, I don't know, maybe that's where we ended. That's where we ended. Men without faith in God. We looked at this, verse 14 of chapter 4, Cain, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let's not walk away from God. Let's not walk away from God and do our own thing. We may sin and fail. We do sin and fail. But a just man riseth up again, we're reminded in Psalms, to rise up again. Cain went out. Verse 17, Cain knew his wife. She conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mahujala. And Mahujal begat Methuselah. And Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech, and this is where we get into some more names that you may recognize. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, that kind of parentheses, that was a parenthetical event. We go back, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for God said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There's a lot of truths in that passage, and we will only talk about some of them. Wanted to point out the reality. His brother's name was Jubal, verse 21. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. In the Garden of Eden, did Adam and Eve find instruments? No. Well, how did they get instruments? Invention, right? I mean, we think about the history of America and what really stemmed our growth. Inventions. Those men were smart men. Don't let anybody tell you that the cavemen were pretty dumb. Well, one, I wouldn't call them cavemen. The reality of how the secular science puts off early man is that they could do nothing and they're simply cavemen. And they hunted, they're hunter-gatherers and they didn't know anything. And our brains have evolved to a point where we can invent. No, look at that right away, early on. We see inventions and see things happening. So we see instruments. Then we saw making with brass and iron. Verse 22, Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Wow. So we see a lot going on. And yet with all of that, that stuff, the smarts and the stuff doesn't bring fulfillment. I mean, look at Lamech could have said, look at my kids. Look at my offspring and how smart they are. What a blessing. What does he do? He kills a man. Stuff doesn't take care of the sin issue. As much as we say Genesis, the book of Genesis reminds us one word, beginnings. We see the beginning of sin and the beginning of a life without faith. And when I live in sin and I do my own thing, it never pleases me. Lamech, man, he's struggling through all this and he sees some of that. But then we're reminded of Seth. Verse 25, Adam knew his wife and she bare a son named Seth. And then they began to call upon the name of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for your heritage? Maybe you've got a family who your family history has been those who have called on the name of the Lord. Mark was sharing with me a while ago some of his family history. And man, how did it skip a couple generations? But I'm thankful I got saved. I remember you telling me that, Mark. And what a blessing. And so maybe your family history has some of that gaps of Christianity. Or maybe, man, you look back in your family history and there was nobody who really was saved. Aren't you thankful that God has saved you? And like Seth and his family, he taught his family to seek God. Now, did his kids have their own choices to make? Of course they did. They had to learn to have faith in God for themselves. It wasn't just being attached to their parents' faith. Sin has devastating effects. Lamech saw that. Cain saw that. The devastating effects of sin. Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Why does he say they and then Adam? Who has been placed as the head of the home? Adam. Find it interesting, and I'm not going to say this is necessarily a biblical principle, but yes, her name was Eve, but what was she called here? Adam. The culture here in the United States of America, when someone gets married, generally, who takes on the other person's last name? The wife takes on the husband's last name. There's biblical principles behind why we do some of these things. Whether people acknowledge it or not, the husband is the head of the home. Verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. How many of you want to live to be 130 and then have a baby? Karen and I were talking the other day. One of Karen's good friends back from Ludington, she's a photographer, and she was there with a young lady and her husband as she had a C-section and gave birth to their second child. And it was exciting. We've been praying for them. She's had kind of some difficulties with this pregnancy. And I looked over to Karen and I said, honey, I'm glad it's them. And I'm not 130. But here we have Adam, and he lived 130, had Seth. Verse 4, and the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Talk about a long life. Man, we say, man, 70s, 80s, 90s. What is Norm, I think, is the oldest one that we have here at church. What is he, 91, 92, Dan, something like that? Just about 92. Man, we say, that's a long time. Adam didn't even have Seth yet. And then he lived to be 930. But really quickly, we see life changes. And as we continue to read through chapter 5, we could look through the genealogy here and see the longevity of life. Yeah. That, a lot of gardening can happen in 930 years, Laura. And so, man, as we see his life, again, remember, Adam and Eve were created to live how long? And God said they would, except if they eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what would happen? In that day, they would surely... Well, Adam still lived an awful long time. But we already saw the digression of lifespan. When a young child is born, grows up to 18 to 21... Generally, for most people, that's the peak of life. And from that point on, we're deteriorating. Now, some of those things are internal and we don't notice them, especially as young adults. We work through a lot of that stuff. We don't notice a lot of those things. It's because we don't have all those alarms on our bodies like the truck that Dan has. But as you get older, your alarms are going off, right? And it's like, okay, man, I'm feeling it. My ball bearings, my knees, and all that other stuff. Man, they're going out, and man, I'm getting it. The reality is that sin's curse. Remember we said there, sin has devastating effects. And this whole genealogy, we see that. Life is changed because of sin. And as much as God wants us to live godly, and as much as you may live a godly life, your body is still under the curse of sin because we are born sinners. We're here in the world under the curse of sin. Work. Is work a part or a result of the curse? No. In fact, Adam was told to work before he sinned. So work was not a product of curse. Sweaty work was a product of the curse. You're going to sweat by the sweat of your brow and hard, difficult things. Hard work is a result of the curse. But work is something that honors God. But the devastating effect of sin that we see here in chapter 5 is really that life is brief. As long as 1,000 years. Could you imagine living to almost 1,000 years? Like, that blows me away. What happened 1,000 years ago, Ashton? Anybody, if you know, you can answer it too, but we're going to put him on the spot.
Let's see. When you're 1,000, you bear discovered
Greenland. Okay, there you go.
1,000 to 1,800
years ago. Okay, so Greenland. I mean, that was before the Black Death was, what, 1400s, 1500s?
Late 13.
So, I mean, this is before then, and we think, like, that was a long time ago. Adam lived longer than since the Black Death and the Black Plague. I mean, it's amazing. And he lived all those years, but he died because of sin. And we continue on through this genealogy. I won't read the entire genealogy for you, and you'll say, thank you, Pastor. But read it, and it is interesting. Again, as we keep some of these things in mind, these truths, as we read some of these things, these genealogies or lists or other things, when we think of beginnings and we think of faith or the devastating results of sin, we see these things, and it sheds some new light on them. And some of the things that go on. We can continue on all the way through chapter 5. I want us to go down to verse 21. And here we see an Enoch. An Enoch, and again, remember, whose lineage are we following here? Adam, but then which of his sons? Remember, we talked about an Enoch from Cain. Is this Cain's Enoch? No, it's Seth. That's right. Because here in chapter 5, we're looking at Seth's genealogy, his genealogy of his family. And so we go down, verse 18, Jared lived in 160 and 2 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. How many kids do you think you could have? You know, people talk about 4 and 6 kids are being a lot of kids. I think they had more than 4 or 6 kids in 800 years. So, how many of you ladies are thankful you didn't have like 120 kids or something like that, right? Verse 19, Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 960 and 2 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 360 and 5 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What happened to Enoch? He was translated. When we often think of translation, maybe the first thing that comes to your mind is Google Translate. Right? You translate it from Spanish to English so you can understand what they're saying or whatever it may be. Well, Enoch was translated. His body, who he was here on earth, was translated. He went to heaven. He didn't die. Interesting thought. Why? What did these verses describe his life to be? He was godly. He was a man who walked with God. Remember, we're talking about what little word here now? It's F-A-I-T-H. Faith. He was a man of faith. Cain did not have faith in God. He had faith in trying his own way. Here now, Seth's family sought after God. And here we see Enoch. He walked with God. Now, why did God choose Enoch to go to heaven and not have to die? Anybody know? Because I want to know. I don't know. We don't know all those things. Dan? Yeah.
That Enoch and Elijah,
yeah.
Their spirit will enter into them. That's a theory.
Right. Because they didn't die. We don't know exactly, but the Bible does say it's appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. Enoch didn't die. God allowed him to go to heaven. He was a man of faith. Sin has devastating results, but even under sin-cursed bodies, can we live for God? We sure can. That's the exciting thing about faith. As devastating as sin is, we can live for God. And Enoch was a great illustration of that in his world. And notice, remember, what world is he living in? This wicked world, because we're getting to the point of Noah. And man, God destroys the earth because of sin. But Enoch walked with God. It doesn't matter who around us doesn't walk with God. I can walk with God. And God wants me to. I can be a man of faith. I can redeem the time by living for God and walking with Him. And we're going to stop there. It is definitely time to stop. But interesting, if you read through the rest of this genealogy, and we'll pick up with a little bit as we go to talking about Noah yet dealing with faith. We see Methuselah and how long he lived, and then Lamech, and seeing some of these other truths about him. That sin has devastating results and effects, but I can still walk for God and live for God here on earth.